preaching. It was just a blessing to get to be with you. And I got a lot of help this week, Brother Toby, and I appreciate you allowing us to come. And I thank the Lord for just touching us like He did last night and meeting with us.
Yes.
It was a blessing to be here, wasn't it?
Yes.
If you wasn't here, you just missed it. And that's all I can say about that, but it sure was good. Yes. And I appreciate Him coming by and helping our hearts like He did. Appreciate your pastor this morning.
Amen.
I want to tell him I love him. Appreciate him. He's been a friend to me. And Brother Toby always challenges me. And you ought to be thankful for a man of God that knows something about the Scripture that can help you. I preach a lot of places and talk to a lot of men, and they can't dig around in this book and get anything out of it. Just be honest with you, they don't know nothing. And that's really sad that they're standing before a flock and trying to feed them and lead them, and they're just a babe in Christ herself. But you ought to be thankful and very appreciative of a man of God that knows something about His Word.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad I'm saved this morning. Glad I'm here.
Amen.
Saved and born again, as the brother done said. Appreciate that. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make us a place there, where we may dwell." And he answered, "Go ye." And one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." He answered, "I will go." So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master," for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, "Where fell it?" And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, "Take it up to thee." And he put out his hand and took it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you, God, for the good day that you've given us. Thank you, God, for all your blessings of life. Thank you, God, for meeting with us this week like you have. Thank you, God, for your manifested presence, Lord, coming in and dwelling amongst your people. I appreciate that. Lord, certainly, God, this week you didn't have to do for us what you've done. Lord, but I'm so glad that you've come by and visited us and helped us. I thank you, God, for the messages, Lord, that I've got to hear. How my heart's been challenged, how my heart's been blessed. And I thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for some things that I've put in my sack that I'll carry on down the road and feast on for days to come. Lord, I thank you, God, for the day that you've given us today and the opportunity to stand once again. Lord, what a blessing, God, it is to read the Word of God. Lord, I thank you, God, for your Word, that you preserved it for my generation. Lord, I appreciate you, God. Lord, today for giving it to us, Lord. God, I read it today and it's life unto me. Lord, and I thank you, God, for what you've laid on my heart this morning. Lord, I thank you, God, for directing my heart. And I beg you, God, now that you'd help me to preach and deal with me, God, today and burn it in me, God, that I might preach in power and demonstration, God, the Holy Ghost. Help me, God, today not to be a sounding brass nor a tingling cymbal. Lord, if you come not by, Lord, I'll just have to take my place. But I beg you, oh God, that you'd visit with us and help us, God, today. Let us hear from heaven, I beg. Challenge our hearts as the people of God to draw nigh to you in these days, I pray. Lord, we realize, God, that we are in the last days and perilous times are upon us. God, help us to be what all we can be and reach our potential, God, as the brothers done preached to us. Help us, God, to be men and women, God, and carry this gospel, Lord, to a lost and dying world. Live a life, God, that's pleasing, Lord, in your sight. Help us, God, not to be a stumbling block, Lord, for sinners, God, I pray. Help us, God, to be a light that's set on a hill. God, then draw men, boys and girls, unto you this morning, I do pray. Help, I humbly beg, and we'll thank you and praise you, Prince, in your wonderful name, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. I want to preach this morning just for a little while, the Lord being my helper, and maybe give you a little thought. Have you lost your cutting edge? Have you lost your cutting edge? Here in these scriptures that I've read and you hear, and most of you know the story, Bible said here that the sons of the prophets there were living in a place that began to get too straight for them or too tight for them. Things was going on and moving on, and people began to crowd in and crowd them out there. And they said, "Well, what we'll do is just get up and go yonder somewhere else and build us a place that we might dwell there." And Elisha began to tell them to go ahead and go ye.
And I see that in this world that we're living in today. It seems like this world is a crowding us and a pushing on us, don't it? And trying to crowd us out. And seeming like everywhere we go, there's somebody that's a critic of the way we believe. If you've got any kind of standard, if you've got any kind of religion, as I might say, salvation, somebody's going to be there to press and push on you. Somebody's going to be there to dog on you. Somebody's going to be there to make fun of you. And a lot of times you just got to get up and get out. Ain't that right? Here they are. They begin to leave and they begin to cut down beams there. And these men was using them axes and cutting down them big trees and building them homes. And the Bible said there was a man there that had a barred axe. And as he was swinging this axe and fell in a beam, that the axe head come off and fell into the water. Now, what you've got to realize about this axe and why it bothered this man so bad is because it wasn't his, it was borrowed. Amen. And all that we got today has been borrowed. The Lord's just lent it to us. And I think a lot of times we're very, very careless with it. So you say, preacher, after the good meeting you've had, you're going to preach like this? And I'll say, yeah, I am. And I think we need it, don't you? Just maybe preventive maintenance. I know most of us here tonight or today trying to live right and do right. But it sure is good when a man of God gets in the pulpit and just plows and busts clods and tells us how we ought to live and reassures us this morning. God has given us a great gift this morning and give us something we can live with and work with, but we use it so carelessly and foolishly. Oh, today, my God, what's in our hearts this morning as the people of God, the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, how precious that it is. And I don't want to ever lose that feeling. I don't ever lose that touch, do you? I've been told a lot of places where I go, I'm not a very deep preacher, but they say you've got something special. You've got a touch. But I realize that touch is just borrowed, Brother Toby. And I don't want to be careless with it. I thank God every time that He does touch me. And I thank God every time that He does preach me. But it's not my axe today. It's His, and I want to use it wisely. I want to say, first of all, before this axe ever got lost, it got loose. Amen. Most of you country boys and probably have swung some axes. I remember in my daddy's day when he was alive, growing up as a kid of a boy, we had a wood-burning stove, and he cut firewood. And he'd cut it down, cut them trees down with a chainsaw, them big oak trees, and then he'd bust them with an axe and a sledgehammer. I can see my daddy, Brother Eddie, swing that axe and make that mark in that big old oak log, and then take that sledgehammer and drive that wedge in it. And that wedge is what busted it. But I see Daddy there just swinging that axe, and it began to get loose. The more you work with it, the looser it gets. And if you wasn't careful, it was going to come off and hit somebody and kill them. Amen. But Daddy'd take that axe and set it down between his legs and get him a little wedge there and take a hammer and begin to drive it in it. And you'd hear it wobbling on the shaft. But the deeper you sunk that wedge, the tighter it would get. I only want you to know today, there's some of you in your lives need to drive some wedges. There's some of you that's wobbling on the shaft. It's been a long time since you shouted and worshipped. You're living off everybody else's blessing. You see everybody else getting the glory and running shout, but you're wobbling on the shaft. What you don't realize is you're about to lose that barred anointing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh yes. There's some of you, your families are wobbling on the shaft this morning. You used to be tight and you was looked at and folks reverenced you and honored you and looked at you and your wife and there was a relationship there and a bond there, but now something has caused you to work apart and you're wobbling on the shaft and there's no joy in your lives. And where you used to pray together and to read the Bible to each other, over and go down the road and talk about Scripture and talk about church and how good it is to be saved. Now one of you looks one way and the other looks the other, and you never communicate and you never talk. I want you to know, man, this morning, your wife ought to be your best buddy and your best friend. Amen. That's right. I've got some good friends in this world, but it's been my wife that's been there through thick and thin. When I could not pray, when I could not preach, when I couldn't lift my head, she was always there to bring a word of encouragement and tell me I would preach again. Our homes is a busting up, and our kids is, thank God, being raised in separated homes because we've got loose on the shaft. Don't play with one another. Don't fellowship with one another because we're loose.
Amen.
Is that right? Amen. Families is what brings the church together. Good churches are made up of good families. Amen. And if you're having family trouble, it won't be long and you'll have church trouble.
Amen.
Is that right? I think I'm preaching right, Brother Toby,
right
this morning. But this man working and filling them beams and working so hard for the honor and glory of God that he didn't realize what he was working with was a getting loose on him. I think some of us are so committed and so dedicated to the cause that sometimes we don't even realize what's going on right around us. There's been a many a man of God lost his wife, lost his family because he is so dedicated to everything else. But he forgot about his home. He forgot about that little old lady. Somebody said, I'm a man, preacher. Well, if you're a man, then you ought to love your wife and take her a flower every once in a while and buy her a pretty dress and comment her on her every once in a while. Oh, yeah. While you're looking out the window and getting cross-eyed at them short skirts and short dresses and short shorts, and the whole time your eyes are looking at you and you think it's funny, on the inside of her it's a tearing her down and breaking her apart, and your marriage and your family is getting loose and you're about to lose it.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know why I'm on that, but it's a pretty good place to be. The devil is after your home, and he's trying to bust it up. Amen. Any of you ever been through a divorce, you know I'm preaching right this morning. And if you got any sense about you, you'll try to warn everybody around you not to make the same mistake that you've made. Oh, God, help this morning. We're getting loose in our families. We're getting loose in our churches. Just the other day, I'd booked a meeting back in the spring or the earlier part of the spring for a man down close to Asheville, Alabama, and I'd went and preached for the man, and I'd talked to some other men, and they said, oh yeah, he's a good man, he's all right, go ahead and go down there and preach to him and for him. And I booked the meeting, and then another man of God come to me and said, you might ought to check this man out. And I said, why? He's a good man, he's all right. And they said, something's wrong with his ordination. Somebody would not ordain him. So I began to call and inquire about it from his pastor. And his pastor said, oh yeah, you're right, Brother Michael. I'm the one that would not ordain him. Said his wife's got two living husbands. And I said, well, I'm going to have to cancel the meeting. Somebody said, preacher, that's crazy. Somebody's got to preach to him. Yeah, they need a shepherd. Thank God that's qualified instead of disqualified. Amen. And so I called the man and told him I could not come, and everybody got mad. The community's mad. It's in the same community where my mama goes, and they're talking about me. But that's all right. But my sister come in the other day, and she said, Michael, and she had that look in her eye, you know, I was fixing to get attacked, and she's fixing to rake me over the coals on how I believe. And she said, I want you to know, I found some loopholes in how you believe about a man being married and preaching. And I said, whoa, right there. That's your problem. You're trying to find a loophole in the Word of God instead of just believing it for what it says. We started getting loose. We wanted to fit the Bible to our lives instead of our lives to the Bible. Amen. That's right. We've got careless. Well, it was a sad day when our men went off to war and our ladies went to the factories and said it wasn't nothing wrong with putting on a man's apparel. and wearing overalls and said, "We'll come out when they come home." But the problem with it is they never come out and they never came home. And the ones that did was different than what they was when they went in. Now we have to deal in our churches with slack wearing women and short wearing women. Ain't that right? Because we've got loose and we've got liberal and we've let it grow out until we've come to the place where we're calloused and it don't bother us anymore.
Amen. Amen.
But preacher, now we're still having meeting and we're still seeing souls saved and God sure is manifesting Himself. Well, I'd just beg to differ with that. There's a lot of folks that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Amen. Why are y'all looking at me like this? Y'all act like y'all ain't never heard preaching before. Y'all was all ready and willing to shout last night, but now I got two people saying amen. What in the world's wrong with you this morning? God help us. Thank God we're wobbling on the shaft and we're about to lose it. Amen. Ain't that right? This axe head that we're using to work with, we're about to use the very resource that's going to build homes and houses and places to stay for us while we're in this world. God help us. If we lose it today, we might not ever get it back.
Amen.
He's been... a whole lot of people in this world said it won't never happen. And now we're living in the day when it's already happened. And they say, well, there ain't nothing we can do about it. Sure we can. We can drive wedges in our axe head. Amen. That's right. Y'all act like this when Brother Toby's preaching to you. Amen. Y'all look at him cross-eyed like you're looking at me. Amen. I'm telling you what, we need to drive some wedges in our lives. That's right. Oh, yes. There ain't nothing wrong with a man dropping the plow deep and preaching to our hearts and challenging us. God help us today. I'm telling you what, our boys and girls have swapped places nowadays, and our girls look like boys and our boys look like girls, and our boys has got earrings and necklaces. Ain't that right? God helping is such as that. I come in one day with a big rope chain on my neck and daddy went, "My God, son, you look like a girl. Are you wearing your mama's jewelry?" And I said, "Oh, Daddy, that's the style." And he said, "I sure am glad I ain't in style. But thank God Daddy taught me something about being a man and being respectful." God bless His name. I'm telling you what, today it's high time in our churches, in our homes, that we go back to fundamental Bible believing. Amen.
Amen.
Teaching our boys to cut their hair. This mop-headed crowd running around here with shags, amen. And dyeing their hair and it's black back here and blonde up here. My goodness, look like something out of Hollywood. And we're so proud of them, ain't we? God helping is such as that. Then our little old girls come in and shave their head up the back of their necks and look like Papa did when he was a boy. But we just commend them and talk about how good they're doing. They ain't doing good. They're wobbling on the shaft. And it ain't their fault. It's mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa's that didn't drive wedges and teach them right. There's mamas and daddies that lost their cutting edge. And now them kids never will have a chance but to hear them holler timber.
Right. Right.
When's the last time you hollered timber, mama? Yeah. When's the last time, Daddy, you hollered timber? I'm talking about you had that axe head and you was working for God and you seen some things happening. And thank God you could holler timber for the glory of God. Well, I'm going to go ahead and go on. I'm glad I done got paid. Amen. Because y'all sure wouldn't give me an offering now the way some of you are looking. Amen. But it got loose and then it got lost. And when he lost the axe head, that meant he lost his power. All the power is in the head of the axe. Amen. That's where the weight's at. There's a bunch of you running around this morning with just a handle. And you're trying to beat and build with it. And barely, and you're just barely scraping the bark on the tree this morning. You've not got into the meat of the matter. You ain't got down where the juices flow. You're just beating bark and thinking you're doing a fine job. But you've lost your power. I'm telling you what today, Brother Toby, it's men of God in pulpits. The reason why our country is in the shape it's in. That's right. On television this morning, multitudes of multitudes are gathered around a dead body of a pope honoring him. I wonder when we die, will anybody come see us? Because they remembered us for what we was. Amen. I'm telling you what, it's high time that we get some weight on our handles and go to swinging in our life. God help. I want my boys to get saved. I want my wife to have joy. I want to be able to shout and worship where I go to church. Amen. I want power with God. I want help from the Lord. I surely don't want to lose it. Our forefathers told us of this day, said it would come, and we didn't believe them. And now we're right in the middle of it. And in order to make it look like we're doing well, since we ain't got any power, we'll trade power for puppets. We'll trade power for games. We'll trade power for shows. That way we can get a crowd, and the world still thinks we're doing all right. Oh, we've got crowds, and oh, we've got ministries. Oh, we got a lot going on. But we ain't got a whole lot of God anymore. Thank God for nights like last night when He says, I'm thinking of you. But I think if we'd think of Him more often, thank God He'd show up more often. And we'd have power in our lives. And we'd have joy in the Lord. And we wouldn't come to church on Sunday morning 15, 20, 30 minutes late. But we'd be there on time. And we'd come ready to worship. And we'd have a song. I'm telling you what, if I required of you a song this morning, some of you'd say, how can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You might as well accept it. We're in a foreign country and we're in a strange land, but I've still got a song. I've not hung my harps on the willows this morning. I'm not going to sit around in church and weep. I've got power. I've got something barred and I'm holding it dear, and I want to use it for the honor and glory of God. When's the last time your baby's seen you swing the axe? When's the last time? Oh yeah. When's the last time you come to church and crunk the meeting?
Right.
All time waiting on somebody else. We got people picked out that's crankers, but if we got the same spirit to take God, we ought to be a cranker, amen. The problem with us is we've lost some things, and they hadn't, amen. I remember down to that little old Methodist church where I got saved. Y'all have heard me tell about Miss Pliny. Some of you knew her, and Buddy knew God. And she was eat up with cancer, and cancer's all over her body, and they'd done surgery and cut chunks out of her legs, Brother Toby. And she'd hobble in church on a walker on a cane, and we'd help her in, and she was hard of hearing, but when she sat down and God ever got to moving, Miss Pliny got to moving. And she didn't testify like most of us. She didn't gripe and grumble about all her problems, all her tragedies, all her heartache. She'd stand and say, I want to talk for my Lord, and I want to brag on Him. But if she had power, and she'd go to swinging that axe, and it got down in the meat of me, you understand what I'm saying? But it passed flesh, and it passed just a superficial surface, and got down in my heart. And I said, if I get saved, I want what she's got. She had power, and she died with power. Ain't that right? Some of us today has seen it come and go. Some of us sat on a pew and at one time worshipped and had a song, but now we sit there and twiddle our thumbs, wonder where God's at, and wonder where the power is. Surely we'll get emotional when somebody else gets tore up. We'll shed a tear when Brother Toby preaches in power. We'll get tore up when Sister Tanya sings a spiritual song. But on the inside, we've got no power with ourselves within ourselves. Have you lost your cutting edge? Have you lost your cutting edge? Amen. Oh, God, help us this morning. Do y'all not realize? Somebody said, "Preacher, you act like you want to save the world. Be glad if I could help them get saved." But I realize not everybody's going to get saved. But I do know this for a fact. Our little old boys and girls here this morning, we better do all we can to get them saved. I'm talking about having power in our lives. That's, now, don't you misunderstand me and take that the wrong way and say, "Brother Michael said we need a bunch of things. The only thing we need is power." Amen. Power in our praise, power in our preaching. Thank God. And it changed the hearts of our babies. I've noticed in my Christian walk, when I'm praying right and reading right and preaching right, there's love at the house. Mamas just act better. And the babies just act better. There's peace and love and joy and fellowship. But if I ever get out of kilter, if I ever get out of whack, it don't take long for Miss Christian to get out of whack. And then we ain't pleased with each other. And we can't find no joy in the kids. Somebody said, "You're placing the blame on the man." You better believe I am.
Yes,
you're the head of the house and a spiritual leader. And she's your helpmeet. And there ain't no wonder she can't help you. You're so hard-headed and stubborn and set in your ways because you've lost power this morning.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, you really believe what you're preaching? I wouldn't be preaching it if I didn't believe it." Amen. God help us. I want to see them little babies. Brother Matthew, I want to hear someday down the road, "Brother Toby, call me, or you call me, or maybe I'll be here and see that little old girl walk out and get saved."
Right.
I won't be able to call y'all, Brother Toby, and say, "Caleb and Isaac, God in." Thank God.
Right.
I won't be able to say we had a barn burner down to the house of God, and the man of God was preaching with compassion and a zeal and an earnest hope in his heart, and he had a touch on him. And the boys got under conviction and just couldn't help it but run to Calvary. Thank God.
I'm
telling you what, I'm so tired of dead and dry meetings. I'm so tired of cold places. You say, "Preacher, that's bad. You've been an evangelist. You've got to go to a lot of them." That's right. That's why I make sure before I leave, I drive some wedges. Amen. That's right. Because I don't want to wobble on the shelf while I'm there. I want to have power.
Right. Amen. Amen.
He got loose before it got lost. And then he lost his power. And when he lost his power, he lost his ability to leave his mark.
Amen.
He lost his cutting edge. He lost his ability to leave his mark. Remember what I told you about my daddy? When he'd take them big old oak logs out and cut them in fire-sized pieces, they'd be about this big around. He'd go to bust them. He'd make that mark. You just couldn't set that wedge up there, Brother Toby, and go to driving it.
No.
Wouldn't do a bit of good. And you just couldn't. You just couldn't take that axe and bust that big old piece of oak either. You had to have both of them working together. Daddy'd make that mark. And then he'd take something with a little more weight and something that it would expand and go to driving it down in there. Thank God for some people that's made a mark. We preach and we read books. We was in the Christian bookstore yesterday and the stories of Jonathan Edwards and D.L. Moody and Charles Finney and some of them great men of God. We read out of them hundreds of years ago. They done been gone, you know, some of them. And we'll read on for them for generations and generations. But I wonder 50 or 60 years from now, Brother Toby, when me and you are about 90 years old, it's probably a good possibility that we'll be dead and gone. Me and this brother both got high cholesterol. Probably won't never live to see grandkids, but that'll be all right. While we're here, we want to leave a mark. Ain't that right? God help
Amen.
Me. Thank God. When I'm dead and gone, they might not ever write books about me, but I want some of your kids to be able to say, "I know something about preaching." There was a young preacher from down on Sand Mountain around Possum Trot, Alabama, that sweated and slobbered and preached in holy prayer when I was just a little boy and girl, and it left a mark in my life. I get so sick and tired of men of God that's got an arrogant spirit about them.
Amen.
I cannot stand that. I go to camp meetings, and because I'm not well known, they won't shake my hand, barely do have time for me. I cannot stand that. I'm telling you what, I said the other day, we ought to have the strength of a soldier, but we ought to have the humbleness of a servant. Ain't that right? I ought to portray myself as a good soldier and preach with power, but when I'm dealing with you one-on-one, there ought to be something humble about me. There ought to be something, thank God, that'll grip your heart. Not that I'd think of myself high-minded or heady, not to, for me to think of myself better than you, but I could condescend the men of low estate, get down on your level, and waller with you and pray with you and let you know everybody cares, thank God.
Amen.
Oh, yes. I want to leave my mark.
Yes, sir. Hey.
My daddy's been gone for about 7 years now. And Brother that brother that was here, Clarence McGee, ain't that his name, was with me in a meeting one time, I guess, about 8 years ago. And my daddy was there. And my daddy and him sat right beside each other. And my daddy, while I was preaching, just crying, wave his hand. Most of y'all didn't know him, but he loved God. And I'll be honest with you, Brother John, he loved the Bible better than most preachers that I know. And he read it daily. I'm talking about on his spare time, and when he didn't have time, he'd still read the Bible. He'd just pick that book up and read it, and tears drip off his face. I was preaching that night, and I was digging deep. I was preaching against television and short skirts and breeches on women. I'm talking about just plowing her deep, and Daddy's waving his hand and carrying on and shouting. And Brother Clarence the other night said, "How's your daddy doing?" I said, "He's dead and gone." He said, "I'm still remembering from sitting beside him that night." You know what he done? Brother Clarence didn't know him from Adam's house cat, but my daddy left a mark in his life.
Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
And my daddy's left a mark in mine, and I want to do my best to leave my mark in my boy's life.
Yes.
To tell no God. I was telling him the other night, last night, the Rogers family, I was talking to him, and just about every time I pray, I start out the same way. I say, "Father in heaven, thank you, God, for the privilege to pray." That's how I always start out. Just don't know why it's my way. But we was in North Carolina last week in meeting. Isaac went to the prayer room with me, and he got down on his face and he said, "Father in heaven, thank you, God, for the privilege to pray." I said, I hope I'm leaving my mark.
Amen.
Then he said, "Daddy, help Mama and help Daddy to be a good preacher." Oh, thank God. I'm telling you, I want to see every one of your kids get saved, and I want to hear the stories. But if I lose my own youngins, I'll feel like a failure, Brother Toby.
Sure.
I surely will. And you're to feel the same way. We want to leave our mark. I believe in missions, foreign missions, and things like that. I believe in supporting them. But you better not leave your home too much.
That's right.
Or you'll lose your home.
Right.
While you're saving the whole world, and there's nothing wrong with that, you'll lose them little youngins yours.
Right.
Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Right, sure.
Amen. I want to leave my mark. I want to leave my mark. I think in this church here that I've made a mark.
Yes, sir.
I know who you have, brother, because I see how your people flock to you and how they talk about you. And I think the times I've been here that I've made a mark and made an impact.
Yes, sir.
In some lives. And that ought not be to build us or boost our heads or boost our egos, but that ought to humble us to the fact that we want to dig a little deeper. And preach with a little more touch. Sometimes I've come out here so much, sometimes I think, "Lord God, what am I going to tell them that they don't know? And I can't tell you nothing that you don't know. Y'all know as much or more than I do, but I can stir your pure heart by way of remembrance." Amen. That's right. I can leave my mark in that area. Oh, yeah. Thank God. Brother Charles Dixon said one time, "While I'm here, I want to be a good soldier, so when I'm dead and gone, I'll be noted as a true soldier." He's saying, "While I'm on this earth and living, I want to leave my mark, so when they view my body in the casket, they won't say he was a was or a has been. They'd say he is a preacher man, God's man. He died holding up the standard. He died living for God. He loved that book and he loved God's way, and he shouted all the way across the river." I'm telling you, I don't want to leave my mark.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you say preacher, but I'm a nobody. I don't teach Sunday school. Deacon. I don't sing in choir. I'm nobody. But you can leave your mark.
Right.
How can I leave my mark? Just by your faithfulness.
Amen.
Amen. Just by your faithfulness. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for deacons and song leaders and Sunday school teachers and choir singers. But you know what's better than that, Brother Toby, is when you look out in the crowd and you see them faces that can't sing and can't teach or think they can't teach, don't think they have the ability. But you look back Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday night after Sunday, and they're in their place and they're sitting there. And maybe you don't shout the loudest, and maybe you don't have spells, maybe you don't run around the church and shout like me and some of the others. But when I'm a preaching, tears are dripping off your face, and there'll be a little hand wave. You're leaving your mark.
Amen.
And we'll talk about you
right
for years to come.
That's right.
Rock left y'all. Yep. Moved down to God's country, you know. Man left Egypt and come to Canaan. How that works. And I knew him while he was here. I know him while he's there. But I was in camp meeting the other night with him, and I was watching him down there. And I was saying, I don't see Brother Brock acts the same way as he does. Truth. And it wasn't long, and they got to singing, and them little hands, him and his wife got to. And he'd turn around and look back at me, and just red eyes, tears are dripping off his face. I said, well, he's left his mark in my life.
That's right. That's right.
I was preaching at an independent Baptist church, and I won't say too much about them, but we know how their tendencies are sometimes. And we've got them same tendencies. If we ain't just around our sect, you know what I'm saying, or our clique, we can't hardly worship. You know what I'm talking about? And I was in an independent Baptist church, and I was preaching on Ruth, and this boy was just running the altars, run outside, swung the doors open, run down the parking lot, run down the road, come back about 5 minutes later, still shouting, just whoa! And then the other day, he come to hear me in a missionary Baptist church, and to sit there and I preach, same spirit, same touch. And he sat there like a knot on the lawn. He said, preacher, if you'd have done any preaching, I'd have done some shouting, I'd have done some worshiping. I'd have said, if we'd have been in your kind of church, you would have done some worshiping, all right.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. If the only place you can leave your marks around your kind, you ain't leaving much of a mark. And it ain't very deep. I'll say it ain't very deep. It ain't very deep. You might be skinning some bark, but you ain't hitting meat.
Right, brother.
You ain't hollered timber in a long time, have you?
Right.
Bless his name. I see Miss Pliny, Brother Toby, get carried away. And she danced like him wholeness. She's like, whoo, whoo, whoo. And all I was seeing is this right here. Clump, clump, clump.
Yes.
And it wouldn't be long. Whoo, timber. Things was a-falling around us.
Yeah. Amen.
When I was lost, I'd lay in the bed at 9:00. Man of God preaching to me. And I'd be under conviction laying in my bed. And I'd hear my daddy in the other bedroom go to groaning. And he'd say, God save my boys. God save David. God save Kathy. God save Evelyn and Dale. But God save Michael. He's under conviction. He's troubled right now. God save him. I'd hear him holler, timber.
Yeah.
Lost your cutting edge. I seen my mama. And she had lung cancer. That's what smoking will do to you. For some of you smokers, hey man, just rot you insides out. Hey man, that's right. Keep you out. She's only got one lung now. Due from that, your sins will find you out. Amen. That's right. Right. But more than that, it'll hinder your worship of God.
Sure it will. Sure.
They cut her open and took out one lung. And my mama used to sing around the house. And she'd sing at church. But I remember when she got over that surgery, just had that one lung, I'd start to listen to her sing in the kitchen. And she didn't have enough breath. She didn't have enough wind. I was pastoring her at the time. And I'd call on her and say, Mama, would you sing like you did when I was just a young boy? And she'd say, I just can't, son. She'd left her mark previously. But then because of sin, lost her power and just couldn't get in deep anymore.
Right.
It'll tell off on you, friend.
You're right.
That's right. And loves to sing and loves to try. Sing in the choir at church, but it'll make it about through about a half a verse and have to take a breath. Just can't do it. Just can't do it. Just can't do it. Physically speaking, she can't do it. But most of us can't do it spiritually speaking.
You're right.
Because we've lost the tools to do it with.
God bless you.
I know y'all. Y'all know me. Strangers.
times I pray when I come to this meeting, I say, Lord, You know I know them. You can take their ways. And they know mine. And I'm going to preach against this, and I'm going to preach against that. And they just going to think I'm doing it because they in it. It ain't my intentions. My intentions. Is that your intentions, brother, when you preach? You know everybody. You know them better than I do. But you still got to tell it, don't you?
Right.
So them youngins can hear you holler timber.
Right.
Come around your house. Able. Grace, or let them boys pray. Couldn't hardly pray for squalling in your potatoes. Covering all in the beans. And mama's over there snubbing. And them little boys, little girls are looking. They're peeking up like, what's going around? But you're hollering timber.
Right.
You're leaving marks.
Amen.
Leaving marks.
Amen. Yeah.
We don't leave much of a mark anymore. We ain't making much of an impact. Those the Pope's dead. But when I die, nobody will care. Nobody will care. Thomas said, last night I believe it was, he said, where I work, he said, I got some that like, in my profession, what he said, I got some like me and some hate me. Some will talk to me, some won't talk. All I am is a full-time preacher, and I got the same problem. All I deal with is church people. Got some like me, some hate me.
Right.
But I'm going to leave my mark.
Right.
I'm going to make an impact one way or another.
Amen.
I'm not going to let it die with me.
Right.
Because if I let it die with me, my next generation won't have a chance.
Right. Amen. Right.
True so much is 40 of you are my age. And I can relate to you, and I understand, because I understand your burdens, and I understand your fear. Thank God for a mixture of older folks in the crowd that can teach us how to worship,
right,
and bring us to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
But thank God, but I know you, and I know you're kind, is what I'm saying. I've got a lot of older folks that come to me and say, I ain't heard preaching like that in years. I'm leaving their mark with them. But most of the young folks and kids like my boy's age, I preach in these big camp meetings and things like this, and you'll be standing around shaking hands, and little old boys and girls will wrap their arms around your legs and hold up a Bible and say, sign my Bible. Sign my Bible, preacher. I break down. Mamas and daddies hang their head and walk past me, won't shake my hand, but they're holding on to me and drawing me pictures.
Right.
And writing me notes of what I preached on. Make a mark in your life, and I might not make a mark in your life, but I'll make a mark in theirs.
Right.
By my faithfulness and by my preaching, hey, and through my consistency, hey, I'll help win your kids, whether I help win you or not.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You lost? Have you lost your cutting edge? What kind of preaching is this, preacher? It's heart preaching. You're going to have to expose your heart. This message won't blow your mind. It won't fathom you with deep doctrines or nothing like that. But it sure will get into the root of the matter.
Amen.
Sure will expose some things, and sure will touch you if you'll let it.
Right.
Yes.
Old preacher from my country by the name of Brother Raymond Cook. You know, brother, what I was talking about, arrogancy. A lot of these big time preachers won't shake your hand, won't fellowship with you, and you off. That's all right. You know, I'm going to be me anyway. I'm going to shake everybody's hand. I'm going to love everybody. Because I've learned it from preachers like Brother Cook. Brother Cook pastors a big church. He's about 90 years old. And he's feeble. But before service, he's there up and down every row. Shaking everybody's hand. Kissing everybody's baby. And that's not politicking. He ain't trying to win his place in the pulpit. He earned his place. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's right. He's earned their respect. But he's letting them know that he ain't no better. Sure, men of God are on a higher pedestal than you. There is a higher calling for us. You understand that. That's why we believe pastoral authority.
Sure.
Is that right? Thank right. you, Brother Brock. You're the
right.
only you're the only lay member that said amen. Bless his name. Amen.
Right.
But that's right. But, Brother Cooker, God bless you. I sure do love you.
Amen.
To a stranger. I've been in Ryan's at the house eating. And not knowing Brother Cook, not knowing I'm there, and just watching through the salad line. How you doing? I sure do love you. And not even know him.
Yes, sir.
He's leaving his mark.
Right. Right.
Just with a humble heart.
Yes, sir.
And the good presence of God and a good aura about him. You know what I'm saying? Good spirit about him. He's leaving his mark. When everybody else is lifting up her nose, not shaking mine in your hands because we ain't in the clique, he's loving everybody. And when he dies, I'll weep.
Yes, sir.
Because America lost a true man of God.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I heard Brother Milby say one time, he said, I hope when I die, as a bunch of you young preachers weep, I will. But if I go before you do, weep. Because I'm just a man of God. Faithful. As friends.
Right.
We go out swinging the axe, don't
That's
you?
Right. Yes.
Let's just get us a cross-cut saw and work together. How about that?
Amen.
Somebody holler timber.
Yes.
Amen.
Hollering timber last night because it was high. Can you holler timber when there ain't nothing to shout about?
Yeah.
Easy to worship when it was last night. Crying, Brother Toby can't hit a lick of the snake, you know. You're rolling your eyes and about to go to sleep on him. Feel like God ain't nowhere in the mist, and you go home sitting in your recliner. Can cry and weep because you didn't holler timber. Like I did last night, I love to preach rejoicing, but this is my kind of preaching right here. It's fun. I don't want to say I'm good at it because I'm not, but this is what the Lord lets me do this kind of time, the hearts. And that's what He's doing to you. And have you lost your cutting edge? Mama, daddy, families, have you lost it? Church, have you lost it? You might think, well, we're truth and we got the best church in Georgia. You probably do, but you're not above losing it. If you're careless, play while the...